Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod. The day has finally come. The Phoenix Suns have traded Eric Bledsoe. We'll be discussing and dissecting how he's fit in Milwaukee. And in some less exciting news, we've had injuries to Utah Jazz center Rudy Gobert and Nets point guard D'Angelo Russell. We'll be discussing who these injuries affects more. And in another edition of the Busick-Manuel Scale, we'll be discussing if Carmelo Anthony should be coming off the bench for the Thunder and if the Washington Wizards are just a glorified Clippers. So shut up and sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to this edition of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. My name is Nick Busink, and I got stung by 6 bees this week.
That's a lot of bees. Was it at the same time, Nicholas?
You heard it here first, mate. It was... Oh, well, one of them was on its own, but the other 5 were at the same time. I thought it was 4, but I ended up discovering another one the next morning, so it didn't hurt that much. Only 3 of them hurt, so stung by 6 bees is... I still got stung. There were still marks.
I automatically think of the when Homer is guarding the bee, and you the bee bit my bottom. Now my bottom's big. It didn't bite your bottom, did it, Nicholas?
It did not. It bit my... Well, it stung my forehead, back of the neck, in between my fingers, underneath my arm, on my chest, and on my ear. And the ear one hurt the most. During and post, because it swelled and then I couldn't hear out of my left ear.
Fun times, mate. Well, hopefully you can hear me enough that we can give the people a dope podcast.
Yeah, it's been a bad week. Let's hope that this is let's hope that this is better. And with me today on this episode 2.5, we have Jack Manuel. How are we, mate? I don't know why we do the introduction after you've... Yeah, anyway. How are you?
I know, it's just... I'm here, Nicholas, so I am well. It's the evening in London. Mm-hmm. It's getting bloody cold over here, so...
As it would.
Looking forward to heading back over Christmas to soak up some rays and get some UV and...
Good time to come back, because it is getting quite hot here in Melbourne.
Like it.
Mm-hmm.
Just you know what else is hot, Nick? The NBA season.
Ooh, segue. I love it. You know what's not hot?
Yeah.
The rivers and lakes of Minnesota. Segue.
That was a quality one.
Before we get to any news, Jimmy Butler, I'm sure you've all seen this, went canoeing. And, well, this happened.
Whatever, bro. What?
Oh, such a manly scream from such a manly dude, Jimmy G. Buckets.
Absolutely wonderful, to put it nicely. And then, classic internet, dubbed Taylor Swift over it.
Yes!
Wait for it, Jackie. Wait for it!
On the drop.
Oh, man.
I don't think the podcast is going to get any better, mate. I think we just
can we just call it there? We're done.
It's done. All right, I'm out of here, mate. I'm going to bed. That's it.
Just but, as ever, guys.
We should get to some in some worse news, some disappointing injury news around the association. Jazz big man Rudy Gobert has suffered a bone bruise in his knee that will unfortunately keep him out for 4 to 6 weeks. And my boy, Nets young star D'Angelo Russell, has a knee contusion himself that is listed as day-to-day. Disappointing, Nick. Who do you think this hurts more, the Jazz or the Nets?
It's really tough because D'Lo
No. D'Lo was out for a little bit, was he not?
Yeah, he missed the game with an opposite knee injury, but it was
and
only one or two.
And then you beat the Cavs on that game, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had Spencer Dinwiddie really step up.
That's right. Oh, I watched that game. Dinwiddie was amazing.
Yeah.
But let's see if you can rely on Spencer Dinwiddie again. I think this hurts the Jazz more. Just Gobert's their team. Hayward left, and it was Gobert's team for the taking, and now he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. That is a fair chunk of games. I don't know I honestly don't know what they're going to do. Can they rely on the likes of Favors? At the who else have they got?
Look, in terms of interior presence, not much, Nick. But they got a win against us, but albeit we have probably the worst interior big men in the NBA right now.
You also scored a lot of points on them as well, so that just proves just as a side note, it proves how good your offense is to score 100 plus on the Jazz. You did that, well.
And I mean, it's all generally because of the lack of Rudy Gobert. There was even talk around some other podcasts I was listening to that, without Gobert and the fact that they've been struggling, Ricky Rubio's come back down to earth in terms of his shooting and his offense, that people were calling for the Jazz to start tanking already because,
Jesus.
There's teams like the Pelicans and the Grizzlies, Portland already have that edge on them, Denver, which I think is obviously very premature, but hopefully
no coach wants
get
to
back,
instill a losing culture into their, this is a team that want to be good soon, I assume. I mean, they sold Hayward, so who knows the direction they're going, but if last year's anything to go by,
Hayward was a free agent.
Even the start of this year, they started very, very well, looking playoff bound. They're a team that should not tank. And if you got a tank, you didn't get rid of Gobert, because you'll get a pretty penny for Gobert.
Yeah, that's actually a fair call, because I've heard even talks about that, because if you're one of those teams that aren't a destination team, like a Denver, like a Phoenix, like a Utah, like a Memphis, all you can really build around is high-quality draft picks. Phoenix have been struggling with that, that's for sure. They haven't really found their star yet. Devin Booker might be that. But a lot remains to be seen with him. Marquise Chris has been playing some okay basketball, but those teams really do have to rely on their draft picks. But it is certainly premature. But speaking of the Phoenix Suns, it feels like it's been so much longer than this.
It has been so long.
It was literally only last week that the Phoenix Suns have finally traded disgruntled point guard Eric Bledsoe to the Bucks for center Greg Monroe, a 2018 protected first-round draft pick, and a 2018 protected second-round pick. Broken news. But, Nick, what are your thoughts on how Bledsoe has fit into the Bucks system so far? He's had two games.
I've watched one of those games. The first one was, I watched the Bucks game on the day he was traded, hoping that he would be playing, but he didn't, which is understandable. But I watched one of the games. He seems motivated, and that is that's exactly what you want. He's motivated on defense. He's obviously doing exactly the same things that he did in the former part of his career at the Suns. So using his length very, very well, knowing that point guard position, and he's linking well with Giannis, which is what you want. Which is really what you want. A lot of the pressure is going to be taken off him with Giannis there. And similarly for Giannis, a lot of pressure is going to be taken off him with Bledsoe there. Just another fighting force from the point guard position, and I wish them all the best because I love Milwaukee. I love Giannis, love Dally. So Milwaukee might be my second team. I love them.
Dally ain't going to be getting minutes now.
No, not anymore.
But we pray for Dally.
He can come off the bench. He can spot up three. He's shooting well. He's shooting well from three this year. Well, he shoots well from three most years.
And I mean, that's all they're basically going to ask for him for now. And I think a lot of their players, because Bledsoe is a decent, not a great perimeter presence, but he can certainly get into the paint. use his speed, use his length to create some openings for some of those buck shooters, as well as Giannis, and just, like you mentioned, ease that load. But Nick, our boy, the king, LeBron, has been making news. He's in New York. What's he been saying?
This is after all of the Arthur Fist thing, which I think we're not talking amazing. About it, but like that has been talked to death over the past week. Just every single... It is, but it's like... Obviously, there's something subliminal there, but just... Oh, who cares? That I was intrigued the first time. The second time, I was like, all right, I've heard this before. And then just everyone... Anyway, we're not talking about it. But we are talking about something else he said, because LeBron can't stay out of the headlines. He said that the Knicks should have selected Dennis Smith Jr. With their pick in this year's draft. He later clarified those comments, saying they were a shot at Phil Jackson and not at Frank Ntilikina. But without Enes Kanter chiming, in on Twitter, is the King right? Should New York have taken Dennis Smith Jr., mate?
Yes.
I think that's a no-brainer.
It is a no-brainer, but I think, in a way, Enes Kanter is right to sort of stand up for his teammate.
Of course,
but
of course.
I can see. The interesting thing here was, wasn't Enes Kanter at one of those shoot-arounds in the summer where, like, it was LeBron, KD, and, like, Russ? Was Enes Kanter one of those sort of, like, bit players there at one of them?
Not that I can remember. I mean, you would know more. You would know more than me.
I know Iman Shumpert was at, and then was like Victor Oladipo as well. And I'm pretty sure Enes Kanter was at another one. When we go to our break, I'll look it up for you, listeners. But look, Frank Ntilikina is having a nice start with he's developing a nice chemistry with Kristaps. He looks very good defensively. He's nailing some outside shots. He is by no means has the ceiling of a Dennis Smith Jr., who has had some really high level games, including against your Wizards, Nick. He has been he's a combination of a young Russell Westbrook and John Wall, and those are some high praises from a guy as knowledgeable as me. But
smooth.
But yeah, I mean, there's not much else to say. He wasn't hating on Ntilikina. It's just that he knows Dennis Smith Jr. He's got a pass with him. He said that he's known him since he was like AAU days when he was 14. So he was surprised. Even a guy like Malik Monk went quite low. So it was a stacked draft. So
yeah.
And we know Phil Jackson is an idiot, but you know.
That being said, I wouldn't say that Ntilikina is a bad draft pick at the moment. Dennis Smith Jr. has had more opportunities, sure. Playing for the Mavs. He is playing more minutes per game, I believe. Last time I checked, he was. And it's as simple as that. That's how I see it. If your rookies get opportunities to play, they're going to produce, unless they're crap rookies. But I do not believe that Ntilikina is a crap rookie. Like, his numbers are not good at the moment. But Kristaps is taking all the shine there. Whereas, like, the time of Dirk and who else? Harrison Barnes. I mean, Dennis Smith Jr. has gotten a lot more attention, I guess, by the Mavs. And he is a good player, don't get me wrong. But his averages aren't... Like, his points per game average is 15 points, which is really, really good. Shooting's not that impressive. But again, you take it all with a grain of salt when it comes to rookies. But I think it's way too early to hang our heads with Ntilikina.
And to confirm, Nick, I've just looked it up via Bleacher Report. It was LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Carmelo Anthony alongside Lance Thomas, J.R. Smith, Dante Jones, Marshall Plumlee, and Enes Kanter.
There you go.
So that adds a nice little wrinkle for me. I wonder if like Enes Kanter was talking a little bit of shit in those pickup games, and LeBron's like, dude, like, I'm playing with Melo and Durant here. You're like a guy who's filling in the numbers. Just shut up. Let me ball.
Yeah.
So I thought that I knew he was there. But afterwards, we'll have some more takes on players, including Carmelo Anthony, in this week's Music Manuel Scale.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. Be sure to head on Facebook and give us a like. Welcome back to JBT Podcast. We'll kick off here with some Busink Manuel Scale. For those of you who are new to the podcast, this is a scale that me and Jack, or Jack and myself, have coined. And it essentially rates NBA rumors, NBA trades, NBA anything, really, on a scale of hashtag alternative fact, hashtag, what's the next? Wikipedia fact?
Twitter.
No, Twitter fact. Hashtag Twitter fact, hashtag Wikipedia fact, and hashtag fact. So you can tweet in, obviously, not that we have, but you can, with what you think on any of these hot takes as well. So, mate, Carmelo Anthony should come off the bench for the Thunder. What are you giving this one?
I'm giving this one a hashtag fact, Nicholas.
Hard fact. Very nice.
Just a hard fact, just purely because Paul George has been so dominant in the absence of Melo, and we've seen the potential that Thunder lineup has with Melo as a possibility coming off the bench. He obviously hasn't been playing, but the lineup versatility it gives him, I just like it a lot more. Melo, it may hurt his ego, but he would absolutely torch the F out of bench lineups. He would be one of the best bench players. He could be an easy sixth man of the year candidate. And you replace him with maybe like an Abrines, who's a nice spot-up shooter. He could sort of just hang out a little bit. And I think it just works a bit better for the chemistry. I think it'd be remiss of Billy Donovan to not experiment with it. But it's going to be hard to sort of work around those three egos of Russ, PG, and Melo. But for the good of the team, I think it needs to be done. Hashtag fact.
Yeah, I'm giving this hashtag fact as well. I've been pretty low on Melo for a while. I didn't really like him in the latter years of the Knicks either. It's got like a Kobe-esque sort of thing. His decline, obviously, he's not that close to retiring. I mean, he could be. But Kobe's later years were just terrible for the Lakers. It was really bad, poor for development as well. Same thing was happening at the Knicks. And I think for the best of the team, he needs to come off the bench. I mean, I've heard a lot of people say this is not an original idea, but they're playing, hey, it's your turn now. Who's gonna take the ball? Okay, Russ's turn. Now it's Paul George's turn. Now it's Melo's turn. Let's give him some ISO. And it seems disjointed. It doesn't flow. It doesn't seem natural. And upon looking at I didn't pick up on this at the start, but upon hearing it, you start to realize it, and it's very, very true. And like you said, Carmelo Anthony will absolutely carve up bench opponents. I mean, the quality of player that he's coming up against, you can play ISO. I'm not knocking anyone's bench support, but we're talking about Carmelo Anthony here. He can still be a very, very serviceable player, but I think, especially in this team, his days of starting may be over.
Fair take, Nicholas. I'm going to put this one to you. Your beloved Washington Wizards. They are just a glorified Eastern Conference version of the Los Angeles Clippers. Where you got this on the Music Manuel scale?
Yeah.
It's not even on our scale, Nick, so you're going to put it somewhere, you bastard.
Yeah. hashtag Wikipedia fact. This is tending towards true. We talk so much shit, and I like it because it's funny, but then we can't back it up on the court at all. And it's not like we can't, we just don't.
Yeah.
I don't know what's holding us back. We just have some games where we look so flat. Our defense is horrible. And then once we start missing our shots, it can become very, very tiresome and very old very quickly. We've got some bright stars on defense. Kelly Oubre has just been amazing on offense and defense. I've been waiting for this change for a while now. It's what it's felt like a while. And he's looking like a very, very accomplished player these days. And he's only going to get better, but that's good. But back to the question. Yeah, we haven't achieved much of anything in the playoffs. We haven't had the same run-in as the Clippers. Like, the Clippers were like 7 seasons or something, or 5 seasons of consecutive playoff runs and just coming up absolutely short. We've had one consecutive, so if you can call that consecutive. and then we had one where we didn't even make the playoffs. And I think we even exceeded some people's expectations in the playoffs. In some of those years, especially that first year where we beat the Raptors in a 7-game series, no one gave us that game. And then giving Boston the fight that we did, that 3-pointer from Wall to win that game 5, I think it was, absolutely stupendous. And people were really high on the Wizards from that point. That's why I'm giving it a wiki. I don't think you can fully call us the Clippers yet, but we are definitely heading there.
Yeah, look, I'm trending towards a Twitter wiki as well. I'll probably go with a wiki as well. I like what you guys have on the offensive end. You know, your top 10 in an offensive rating, net rating, even your true shooting percentage is quite good because, you know, you've got, you know, decent shooters out there. You've got the offensive talent. The defensive end needs to improve somewhat. You know, the best teams in the NBA are generally top 10 in both categories, or if not, they are top 5 in one and top 15 in the other. So the Wizards certainly have the talent. I just don't think they have the depth right now. And I think it's time to put up or shut up. But I think we spend enough time on the Wizards every week on our podcast, Nicholas. So what do you got for me next?
I'm not sure that we... Anyway.
God.
The Lakers were feels... Fools.
Feels.
Feels for getting rid of D'Angelo Russell. Mate, I know where you're going for this.
This is the biggest fact in the history of facts. This is a bigger fact than the Earth not being flat.
that is a pretty big fact.
It's a huge fact, man. It's a huge fact. It's a huge fact, Nicholas.
I need to get that soundbite.
We need to get a heap of soundbites. We need the wow.
I'm going to make a list.
Yeah, D'Angelo, he's been great for us this year. I remember reading a stat on Anthony Puccio's Twitter. He's one of only 7 players to be averaging 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists and 4 rebounds. And the likes of those players that are also in that category are Steph Curry, DeMarcus Cousins, Damian Lillard, and some other guys. But the thing is, D'Angelo's doing on an average of 27 minutes a night. There's been nights where he's been a bit inefficient. He's still a baby. He's 21. And like you look at Lonzo's 20. So you look at the age difference. And I think I would much rather have D'Angelo Russell for the years ahead, because I'd much rather have a guy who can actually make a shot and wants to have the basketball in his hands rather than just giving it up like Lonzo does. His passing is great. His rebounding is really good, but he can't make a shot to save his life.
That's true, and I'm not disparaging D'Angelo's performances at all. He's been absolutely amazing, but I'm giving this a hashtag alternative fact for the following reasons. Not based on, like, if we're basing it solely on, you know, how well D'Angelo has improved, then yes, sure. But he would not have seen this improvement at the Lakers at all. I think Kenny Atkinson has absolutely transformed D'Angelo Russell. Just from what I've heard from yourself, you are my main Nets correspondent, about his man coaching abilities, his player development abilities, giving D'Angelo the confidence that he never got at the Lakers. Kobe really stunted D'Angelo's growth early. And then because they weren't able to mold him that early, I don't think that they saw him as being very productive under that system, which is fine. And I think that's what would have happened. So it was the best thing to happen for both parties, I think. Lonzo Ball still can't make a shot, but he has been impressive nonetheless. I mean, we've got to remember he's a rookie, yeah? And by the general standard of a rookie, Ben Simmons isn't a rookie. He's a basketball god. He's an Altona boy. Repping. But
AB boy.
That's it. I mean, it's just unfortunate that he's come in a draft class this stacked. But he is a rookie. He's a first year player. He's 19, I think.
He turned 20 the other day, and he went to Chuck E. Cheese. But his brother, I know, he could probably use a Chuck E. Cheese visit or a million. Apparently Donald Trump is like talked to the Chinese president to actually bail him out.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
But on the Lakers, a fellow former Lakers teammate, Julius Randle, Julius Randle, Nick, he will be traded by the Lakers before Jahlil Okafor is by the Sixers. What do you got for this one?
Fact.
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 Reasons.
People want Julius Randle more than Jahlil Okafor, and I shall explain. Yeah. Randle has been so professional about this whole thing. He is still balling. I need to get his stats up, but I believe that he is, like, you can just see it. I don't know what his stats are, but you can see it on the court. Yep. You can see it on the court. He's trying. He doesn't like the fact that he's coming off the bench. Fair enough, ego, whatever it is. He feels himself as a starter. Fair enough. You know what you are. You do you, Julius. You do you. You need to know where you're at. And I think people will see that, and that I definitely have, and I'm not a GM, and that'll shine through. I think people will be higher on Julius Randle than they will on Jahlil Okafor. And the Sixers, man. The Sixers won't. They just won't do anything about it. They're pricks. I'm becoming to realize that the back office of the Philadelphia 76ers aren't good people.
Yeah, the back office isn't good. Neither is the front office. The offices of the Sixers,
I'm sure the side offices aren't that good either.
Like, yeah, they're diagonal offices. It's just all they're diagonal offices. They're horizontal offices. All those directional offices. They're not great there in Philly. But no, I agree with you. You made a point about the fact that, you know, Julius Randle has value in today's NBA, and the Lakers are looking to shed some salary because, you know, they're obviously in the sweepstakes to get a LeBron, Paul George, DeMarcus Cousins, whoever's a free agent going into next year. They want that big fish. So I agree with you, Nick. We are agreeing somewhat in some
of
these, which is
still
nice,
young as well for Julius. I mean, they're still young, but that's a nice work for both.
Yeah, and I agree. There was someone made a nice comparison to Julius Randle being sort of like a poor man's Lamar Odom. You know, if Julius Randle can develop a 3-point shot, he's still quite young as well. In the coming years, I think he could take his game to another level, as could like a million players in the NBA. But Nick, we've got a couple more. People should be talking up James Harden as an MVP candidate much, much more.
Considering, I mean, this has all come from the last week where he's absolutely bowled. It's kind of alarming that people would be putting more salt into his MVP candidacy than last year. He had the better record. He was shooting better. His team was better. He made his team better. I was a big Harden fan last year. So it's crazy to me that someone averaging less than what he was last year has more of a MVP chance. I guess that just all comes with the years. He's doing it off, he's having his stat line off like a really low amount of minutes as well, like 35, 36, I think it is.
That's high.
Not for what he's putting up. 30 plus points a game, 10 plus assists.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not playing 40, like playing 36 minutes is sitting the entire fourth quarter. Sitting a quarter of basketball. Steph Curry was putting up his points average off a 36 minute total.
This year, the trend with the NBA is that they don't want James Harden playing those minutes, but I think he's right now, for me, he's a front runner. Giannis has been great, but he's had a few down games.
They don't have the record. They don't have the record, Milwaukee. I think they're below 500 now. So
The Houston Rockets are 11-3. They've probably been the second best team in the NBA. Outside of Golden State, who've just gotten back to just doing Golden State things, and all without Chris Paul as well. Eric Gordon has been absolutely outstanding. But yeah, you make a decent point, with the fact that, James Harden's been doing this on lesser numbers. But I think it was the starters, Trey Kirby or one of the personalities there, made the point that, it's going to go to one of these guys who are sort of, on teams that they think should be better, or guys that are sort of carrying their teams by themselves, like a LeBron, like Chris Stapps, like a Giannis. But obviously Giannis has a bit more help now with the addition of Bledsoe. But I'm going with the wiki for this because Right now, he's the best player in the NBA for me, and I think he should be in the front runner. Giannis may still win it, but you made a good point about the fact that they don't have the wins right now. But Nick, speaking of good teams, good players, the Boston Celtics are absolutely balling, and they will finish with the top seed out east. Where does this go on our beloved?
Fact. I had them as the top seed before the season started. Now that the Cavs have dropped off, we're not pushing. They've got it. Like, it's been 14 games or so. Like, how many games has it been? About 14.
Well, they're on a 12-game winning streak, so it'd be about 13 or 14
games. Yeah, which is incredible. And when you said the Golden State Warriors are being the best team in the NBA right now, I'm not sure about that. Fair enough. If Golden State are the best team, then Houston Rockets aren't the second best team. Boston are. Rockets are the second best team in the NBA, I'm like, okay, well, Celtics.
Like, if you had a seven game series between the two, I would take the Rockets.
Just because they've got the continuity.
You know, I mean, it's hard to judge without Chris Paul and Kyrie Irving, who's obviously coming back. But I think we can agree the fact that both teams are balling and that this is obviously a fact. Detroit are a sneaky team out there as well. The Cavs might get it all together. Your boys, Washington, might win some games.
Well, we're still fourth. We're 7-5. We're not in a dire situation, but...
not at all.
We've lost some very winnable games, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, Boston are just in a league of their own out next right now. But a team that is somewhat in that league are the Detroit Pistons.
10-3, Nick, man. I put 10-3. That is impressive.
Who were 10-3?
The Pistons.
Yeah, they've been absolutely amazing. For me, one of the surprise packs of the season, and their consistency has been amazing. The Pistons, Nick, they will finish in the top four of the Eastern Conference come the end of the season. This one's a bit trickier, but I'm gonna give it a wiki because I like that we've got the scale for this, and it's not just a yes or no answer.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it sort of helps because you know, in terms of other teams, it's your boys who are I think are a lock for the top four somehow. The Cavs can, but I don't think that they need to or want to necessarily. The Bucks, but their record lately has been shaky. The Raptors, who have been quite good. So there's five or six teams already that are sort of competing for those four spots. And then you chuck in teams like, the Philly have been good. All right, the Heat are getting things together a little bit. But I think Detroit have given themselves a nice little buffer that I think that they're every chance to finish top four. And if you finish top four, you give yourself a chance to make it into the second and third rounds. And I just like the basketball that they're playing. Reggie Jackson has been back to his best. Andre Drummond is making free throws. Tobias Harris won NBA Player of the Week. He's just killing it. There's just a really nice blend out there, and they're playing some great basketball.
I mean, you said it there, Jack. Though their big three, which is, it's like a. Like a young ragtag bunch of kids, like the most unexpected big three: Tobias Harris, Reggie Jackson, and Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
Like, come on! but it's been working. Like, it's crazy. I didn't think we'd see this sort of efficiency and usage out of Tobias Harris again. Reggie Jackson is above average on all his career numbers and. You said it, Andre Drummond is making free throws. It's like everything that was wrong is now right.
Yes, Nick.
It's quite strange. Did not see this coming out for the Pistons. But in terms of the question, will they make a top four seed? I'm giving this more of a Twitter than a Wikipedia.
There's still a chance.
Still a chance because they're 10-3 record. And that's the only thing I'm basing this off. I still think that they'll level out. And potentially not make it. Like, Raptors are playing really well. Bucks, I still have a sneaky chance to make top four. They've had, again, the same as us. They've lost a few winnable games. But when they're on, they are on. They had a game against the Spurs where their defense was just some of the best defense I've ever seen. Granted, Spurs aren't the same without Kawhi Leonard, offensively and defensively. But still, it still remains. They had an amazing defensive game that game, and which proves that they have the potential. Like, that's been the Bucks' downfall so far, their defense. But same story reigns every year. Those next four spots in the East, completely wide open. You got the Bucks, Sixers, absolutely. Knicks, potentially Raptors. Raptors will probably be in the top, maybe top four, if not bottom four, definitely. Even the Pacers. I give the Pacers a sneaky chance to get in. Magic. I love their basketball right now. Magic as well, yeah.
Yep. A lot of players, a lot of teams. It's been a fun season so far.
It's going to be interesting that end of the season.
Absolutely, especially out East. But Nick, you want to head to a break before Rookie Watch, or do you want to power through?
Yeah, we'll head to a break. Give the listeners some chance to breathe.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. Give us a rating and review on iTunes.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Mate, we're not starting with JBT Team of the Week. We're going to be starting with some Rookie Watch. For those of you who are new to the podcast, we rank our rookies over the past week of play with 3-2-1 votes, and then we tally it up at the end of the year to see who's won Rookie of the Year, JBT edition. So, three votes. L Ball with three votes. Jeez. Yeah, L Ball with three votes. Lonzo overtook LeBron as the youngest player ever to record a triple-double with 19 points, 11 rebounds, and 13 assists. So he gets the 3 points for that game. As much crap as he gets, he is still a very, very good and exciting player. And look forward to the future of Lonzo. D. Smith, 2 votes. Dennis Smith Jr.
D. Smith Jr.
Soz. S.J. Dennis. Or Dennis S.J. Shut up.
You're an idiot.
In the Mavs' second win of the season. That's depressing. Dennis Smith Jr. has his best game to date. 22 points, 18 rebounds, and 8 assists. Very nice there from DSJ. Ooh, I like it.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's all right. Jay Tatum, 1 vote. Should we do 1, 2, 3? I think we should. That's how they do it at the Brownlow. Anyway, Jay
you
Tatum,
should have done that
one vote.
You sort of just overtook this entire segment.
You could do JB team. How about that? Jason Tatum continued his stake for the year's most consistent rookie, putting up 21 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks, and an assist, and a steal. Throw in the steal there. In a Celtics win over Atlanta. So very, very nice stuff from the rookies there. Lonzo taking the big prize of 3 votes. No Simmons this week. So, you know, give the other rookies a chance to catch up. He's still balling, but...
They are catching up, though, Nick. It's for those that are playing along. We won't tell you the exact leaderboards, but there are some nice contenders. There's some people getting some votes that many didn't expect in the first place.
There is a creamy, creamy middle on the sandwich that is Simmons.
You didn't need to really say that at all.
That's a bad analogy as well. Like, what sandwich?
That's
has
a
one,
horrible.
What
analogy.
Sandwich has one piece of bread, and then a creamy middle?
It's more of a cake or an eclair.
Anyway, we're comparing our rookie watch year to a piece of pastry. JB team of the week time, mate.
JB Team of the Week.
Yes, welcome to JB Team of the Week. For those of you who are new to the podcast, this is where we pick a fantasy team for the week, picking the best performances from each player in each position. So, Jack, you want to take us away with the positions?
I shall. And just to preface, guys, there are some absolutely outrageous numbers this week, including at the point guard position, James Harden had a career night. We mentioned him in the Abusing Manuel scale. In the Rockets' 27-point win demolition over the Jazz, posting 56 points, 13 assists, two steals, going a staggering 76%
from
the field.
76%.
And I believe he also sat like the last 5 or 6 minutes as well. And it was just like, he could have easily got to 70. He was just absolutely balling. Devin Booker at the shooting guard position, he was outstanding and has been in great form in the Suns' upset win over the Timberwolves, posting 35 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal. He's been playing some nice basketball. I'll do the small forward position, Nick, and then you can do the two bigs. In the Thunder's statement win over the Clippers, Paul George led the way, having his best game of the season with 42 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 steals, so still staying active defensively. He also backed that up a couple of nights later with another 37-point performance on Russell Westbrook's birthday. So Paul George, as we mentioned, has been in some red-hot form. Nick, who you got for me at the power forward and center?
The power forward, we've got the Porzingod. He continued his scintillating form, posting.
Scintillating. You don't say the C, Nick.
Scintillating. It is scintillating.
Scintillating.
Oh, my brain's hurting. Those bee stings. Oh, it might be. You know, it might be. Anyway,
and
the scintillating form. Yes, I said it right. Posting another career night statistically with 40 points, 62% from the field, 8 rebounds as well, and 6 blocks. Jack, 6 blocks. I thought it was Giannis that was going to give me my quad double, but it'll be the Porzingod.
I've been doing some research on him for a new article, Nick, and just he's and one of the NBA leaders in blocks, and it all began in his Sevilla days. He's just a one-man wrecking ball when it comes to protecting the rim. And
what was the team that he came from?
Is it Seville or Sevilla?
It's Sevilla. Come on, mate. Talk about me pronunciation. Two L's. It's not a tortilla, is it? It's a tortilla.
Well, it's not scintillating either, Nicholas.
Fair enough. You got me there. Nikola Jokic had a career night himself against the Nets, posting 41 points. Back to the Nikola Jokic we know and love, to go with 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks, and 2 steals. He might be the one to give me a quad dub. There are a lot of candidates here. Big men who can get the blocks. Those are the...
A lot of unicorns. Mm-hmm. A lot of unicorns in today's NBA.
That's it. Because I am dying with hay fever. Mate, can we wrap it up there? Because I need to sneeze and cough.
I'll
and
do the outro for you, Nicholas.
Thank you.
Because I reckon you might die or forget how to read words.
Yeah, that's I think the latter is more likely.
I appreciate you, as always, helping me out, mate. We're a team effort here at JBT, and JB Team of the Week. We should be featured every single week. I don't know what position you'd play. Maybe you'd have like a Stan Podolak sort of position, sort of like what it...
I mean, what
or
would
maybe
you...
a Bill Murray.
I'd definitely be the Bill Murray. I don't play defense, and I'm very funny.
Yeah,
I don't
I'll
play offense, I'm more of a Stan. I'm slow.
You may not be very...
I'm not very good.
And large.
But I'm slow.
And large. And large.
And a dork.
And a dork. we did Space Jam a few weeks ago. We shouldn't get started. So just as ever, guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio, and any decent pod center. And remember to rate and review the show, because it'll help other people find us to add to the conversation. You can get in touch with us personally. I am at the J-Man JBT, and Nick is at JBT Real NJ. If you want any ideas for DBS, any hashtags for Music Manuel Scale, we are more than happy to see them and incorporate them. Also, for some awesome content, hit up at OTG Basketball. You can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/JBTpodcast or on Instagram at JBTpod, and also through email at JBTpodcast@gmail.com. Remember, it is you guys who make the show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars.